Hey, and welcome to Deliverance Today with Pastor John Kyle. I am not John Kyle. My name is Gary Gilbert, and I am a pastor in Wyoming, and I am filling in for John Kyle tonight. So I'm glad that you're joining us. Really pleased to have you with us. It's going to be a good show tonight. We've got some ministry time coming up in a little bit, some call-ins. We're going to have people call in and be able to actually work through some issues, do some deliverance, counseling, whatever we need to do. We can do prophecy and prayer and just letting God flow with us as we go through. But as we get started, why don't we just open this up a little bit of prayer. Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus, call forth your power and glory into this place right now, Lord, that, Father, these words, the things that you give tonight will all be of you. Father, we don't want any deception or lies of the enemy trying to infiltrate or get in there. Father, we just want the truth. And, Father, I pray that we're here for that in Jesus' name. Amen. My name, like I said, is Gary Gilbert, and I'm a pastor in the Oasis Church in Rawlins, Wyoming. I have known Pastor John Kyle for many, many years. I think I was looking at going on 20 years that we have known them. The first time that I ever met him was actually, I worked for a place. I was going to a church, and this gal that I worked with said, you know, hey, why don't you come check out the church that I go to? You would love it. We do this thing called deliverance. And at that time, I had never heard of what deliverance was. I was saved, walking in the Spirit, but I did not understand what deliverance was. And she said, come meet my pastor. So we went over there on a lunch break. And lo and behold, guess what Pastor was doing, Pastor John was doing when we arrived? Nothing else than doing deliverance on a gentleman that ended up becoming one of my great friends for many, many years. So that was my first impression of John Kyle, is that this is a man that walks in the anointing, somebody that walks in the power of God, does deliverance, casts out devils, does what he needs to do, and we're grateful that he has been able to do this radio program, and I'm excited. I'm just filling in for him tonight. He will be back again next week. He is actually, as many of you might know, he's at the Whitestone Remnant Conference in Bozeman, Montana, today, tomorrow, and the next day. He is one of the speakers. Along with Steve Quayle and Dave Blankford and Russ Dizzers, those guys are all speaking at that conference, and he is one of the speakers as well. So John Kyle is speaking in Bozeman this weekend. I believe that conference is sold out already, but I know that they're doing some DVD sessions and other things, so if you're interested, you'll be able to get hold of that after a while. So a little bit of my background. I told you I've known John Kyle for many years and sat under his ministry for many, many years. We traveled, did some things together, been overseas together. Just spent a lot of time getting to know the man, and he's one of those guys that when you get to know him, both he and his wife Linda walk in the anointing. They walk in the power of God. It's not something that they're making up or that it's cheesy or, you know, any of that. It is completely legit. They are good men and women of God. I have known people in several different countries now and have never met anyone that has the gift of discernment and discernment of spirits and the ability to be able to peg a devil. To figure out what's going on and what the underlying cause of some of the things going on. John Kyle is in cahoots with God on that. God speaks to him, shows him some things, and he's able to help set some people free and get them into a place of peace. Let me give out a number for you as we get going here. If you want to call into the show, you'd like to listen over your phone, set up a computer, however you want to do it, the call-in number for that is 657-383-0134. 657-383-0134. So if you want to call into that number, we'll actually take some live calls here after a little bit and be able to let you get your voice yourself as well. But for right now, we're going to do a few other things. I'm going to have a time of ministry after a bit. We're going to go through some word. I want to share something that God has laid in my heart. I believe it's a powerful message. It'll help encourage you. We're actually going to deal with the Spirit. I put the focus on Jesus as the one that empowers us to overcome anything, but we need to know what the enemy is up to, and the spirit of fear is what we're going to address tonight. I have a little message I call it No Fear, that we will want to get into that in a few minutes. I just wanted to share something. One of the things about ministry and being able to be a blessing to people is to be able to reach down inside of people and actually pull out the gold that is within them. Everybody is made by God in his image, has this thing inside of them, deep in them, that I believe that's part of the calling of ministers around the world, that God has set them in the body of Christ to help draw some of this out and to help get it out so that God can use you more effectively to be able to do some things for your life. And one of the ways that we do that is by understanding how much God wants to bless us. I tell you, I was grieved in my spirit this week as I was reading. I was traveling. with my family, and my wife offered to drive, and I thought, okay, I'm going to pick up a little newspaper and do a little reading in the back seat. And so as I'm reading through, I found a paid advertisement by a denominational church that had a paid advertisement in there claiming to be the church. And for starters, that kind of raised my eyebrows. I thought, what is this? I want to see what these guys have to say. So I started reading, and it ended up saying why the power of God could not be available for us today. And that they had like 6 points, and they wanted to get this point across that the supernatural power, the miracles of God, the miraculous, was not for today. And they actually went through and said that the time for miracles had passed, that the power source, I don't get this, but the power source for miracles has been cut off. And they actually had a date for it, which I think is even funnier, because when you know God, a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years one day. I don't believe that God sits in the same time frame that we are in. I don't think he has an appointment on Tuesday at 6. You know what I mean? I think he has more of he is outside of time and space, and God can, he's just not limited by the limits that we put on him. But these guys actually set a date of when miracles and the power of God ceased, and it was back in, I think it was AD 98. So for the last, 2012 years, the access to miracles has not been available, according to this church. And it just grieved me, because I thought, man, what a church service that would be. Here you've got things in your life, you're hurting, you know, you've been through a relationship, it's gone bad, or things are hurting, or you've got loved ones that are not walking with the Lord, you got things going on in your life, or you've got a physical pain, maybe you've got pain in your body, you've got some cancer, you've got some things that have come upon you that are plaguing your body and beating you down, or you're just emotionally, you're struggling in different areas, and you go into church, a place where you should be refreshed, a place where you should be rejuvenated, filled up, healed, walked out in the wholeness of God, and you're going to walk into that kind of a church, and they're going to say, sorry, but miracles like that just don't exist anymore. They're just not around anymore. And I'll tell you, that is so grieving. I pray that you understand that. You know that God wants to bless you. I pray that you understand the unmerited favor, the divine grace of God, how much he cares for you and wants to get into your life, how much he wants to pour his love upon you. I tell you, I even had an experience even earlier today. Just to be here right now with you for this show is a miracle in itself. I'm a pastor, but I also... that is my passion, the love of my life. But in order to fund that and be able to continue doing it the way that I want to, I actually work in the community, and I have a job where I drive, and I drive a truck. And I was out driving, and driving down the middle of nowhere. I'm from Wyoming, and this place was rural, the kind of place where you could be for an hour and never see a car, a person, anything. You can drive for 30 miles and never see a car, a person, anything. It's a very, very rural area. And I was out there and driving along 60 miles an hour, all of a sudden, bam, blow a tire on my truck. And it just, you know, ground to a halt, pulled off to the side of the road, and I'm like, right away, I'm thinking, the first thing that came to the thought, you know what the devil does, throw in all that stuff. Oh, you're not going to make the radio show. You're never going to make it in time now. And he throws out all this stuff, and I said, nope, shut up, devil. I don't need to hear that. I've got a bigger God than you are. Did you forget that? And so I had this conversation with God, and I said, God, you know the commitments I've got. You know what time it is. You know what time I have to be there. The way this has worked in the past, I had a flat tire in that exact same area a few months ago, and it was more than 3 hours delay by the time that we got the tow truck out there to fix the tire and get back on the road. And so I'm thinking, there is no way in the natural that I'm going to be able to make this show. And it just happened that I thought, well, I prayed, I talked to God, and I'm just going to go through the motions like I'm getting this taken care of right away. So I went, I got the little emergency kit. It was a commercial vehicle. Got a little emergency kit, and I strung out the little triangles, you know, the bright orange triangles. You got to put them out behind your truck and do all this stuff. And so I was doing that, and I just opened up. I just sat down at the third triangle, and I look up, and here comes a car passing by. I didn't even put my thumb up, didn't do anything yet. I wasn't even thinking that yet. I'm just thinking, okay, get the truck secured, get ready to start walking or do what we need to do. And here comes a Suburban, goes by. And this young lady and her children stopped and picked me up and gave me a ride all the way back to town, got a different truck, went out, unloaded, finished my job, and got here with time to spare. And I'll tell you, just to be in that place, I can't even describe it, really. There's nothing but sagebrush and antelope, and it's just a place where there was the possibility of somebody coming by at that time of day was almost next to nothing. And so I just believe that God, that was God's favor, his divine intervention. He wants to bless his children. He wants us to be here. And I believe that even if you're here right now, that God wants to bless you, that he wanted you in on this tonight. If you're able to listen to this, I praise God that we get these recorded. You can they're in archives, and you can look them up, listen to them later on. And I pray that tonight is an encouragement to you. I pray that we're going to spend our time together and that you'll be encouraged and receive what God has for you. God has an abundance. There are so many things that he is wanting to give us. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, and you've got to know that. So kick back, get ready to receive. We're going to open ourselves up to the Spirit of God and let him do what he wants to do. I'm going to share, like I said, a little bit on fear, and basically no fear is what I titled it, because I don't believe that we as Christians, I don't believe that Jesus walked in fear. I don't think that we have to. There are things that are going to come, just like I said, when that, you know, tire blew, you know, the first thoughts that go through your mind is, oh, man, you know, I'm never going to have this. It's never going to make this show and do all these things. So they're going to pop up, but we don't have to live in that. And I went straight to the Lord, the confident one, and talked to him, and he reassured me things are going to be all right, and that's the way he does. So I believe every believer has this life. In this life that we're living, we're going to have this battle, and it goes on in our mind every day. Okay, these things are going to come up. Thoughts are going to pop up. I think God gave us wonderful things. I think that not only did he give us a free will, but he gave us things like creativity. He gave us things like determination. He gave us things like imagination so that we can imagine and dream and hope and have things. But the same things that God gave us for good, the devil has sometimes twisted around to try to use it against us. You know, even Jesus, the Bible says that he was tempted in all things just like we are, and yet he remained without sin. And I believe that he fully understood that he was righteous because of God, and therefore the power to sin and the power of sin was not more powerful than his righteousness. Okay, so sin was not strong enough to fully lead him into it. That's where he could be, you know, have these things laid out in front of him, but he wasn't drawn into it because the righteousness that he was, that God had given him, he was more in tune with that. He walked in that more than he did in temptation to sin. Okay, so just like, though, that Jesus understood that he was righteous and that was part of who he is, okay, well, the devil grew to understand that being a liar is part of who he is. Okay, the Bible calls him the father of lies. Okay, so God will tell you things like, you know, how much he loves you, and the devil jumps in real quick and snaps back at you. No, he doesn't. God doesn't love you. God doesn't want you to be blessed. God doesn't want to do this in your life. You know, God tells you that he has his promises for you. These things are coming in your life, and the devil promptly tells you, no, they're not. Nope, you can't have that. Those are not for you. You're not worthy to receive them. And he starts throwing these things at you. You know, things like peace and love and trust, you know, they're clearly offered to us from God. So when you start to feel stressed out, you start to feel unloved, you start to feel insecure, you know, like you're not good enough, you can't make it, you can be sure that the devil is the one that has planted some seeds in your mind to try to rob you of what God is freely offering you. God is, you know, thou will give him perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, God said. And so when we are in him, we're in him, fully in him, we have peace. Okay, but the devil is going to try to rob you of that, steal some things out of your mind. You know, that's how important our thought life is. If you think about the things that go through your mind, you know, have you ever heard somebody use the expression, my mind is just playing tricks on me? Okay, well, sometimes those seeds of deceptions or those seeds of torment or seeds of doubt or fear or whatever they are, they've been planted there by the adversary against us, trying to trip us up, trying to catch us off guard, trying to get us going in a different direction. Okay, fear in a lot of cases is what paralyzes God's people. It's what keeps them from taking that step forward. It's what keeps them in the boat instead of getting out of the boat. It's what keeps them at home instead of going to Jesus to touch the hem of his garment. It's the things that, you know, that tell you that you just can't, you know, take your friend and get him in front of Jesus and get him healed. You know, if you know that story, they lowered the friend down through the roof of the building to get him in front of Jesus. Now, those guys stepped beyond the fear that, hey, this isn't going to work. Hey, this isn't, you know, going to happen. We're going to look like fools. They stepped beyond that fear and were able to actually step into what, you know, God had planned for them, what God wanted for them. Fear is something that hinders the people of God from what is best for them, for what God wants for them. You know, fear, in some ways, you could say, keeps you from your destiny. fear is what kept the Israelites from entering into their promised land. You know, you remember that story. God had promised them this land, and it was beautiful. It was going to be flowing with milk and honey and good things, and he promised them that he was going to deliver them out of the, you know, the inhabitants of that land. He was going to give them all into their hands, and all their enemies were going to be defeated. But when they got there, doubts began to rise up. So they sent some spies in. You know, here's the beginning of it. Well, what about who's in that land? So they started questioning it. So they sent some spies into the land to see if they could really take it. And the spies came back with great big bunches of grapes, and they had honey, and they had good things, and it was all just like God had told them it would be. But they also said, there's giants in the land that were so big that it really, you know, made them look like grasshoppers in their eyes. So Joshua and Caleb, though, said, yeah, but, you know, God said we could take them, so let's go to it. Let's do it. But the other 10 spies were gripped with fear. They convinced the rest of the people that they could not do it. Okay, the promised land was theirs. All they had to do was trust God, just believe the promise that God had made to them, and they could go in. But they didn't because of fear. A negative report, a negative seed that was planted in their minds robbed a whole generation of the blessings and the goodness of God. You know, there's a scripture in Psalms that talks about, you know, a people that were in great fear where no fear was, you know, meaning they were afraid of something. They didn't even have to be afraid of it. And how often has the devil used that against us in the body of Christ? How often do we not pray for somebody? Do we not allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us or to move through us, to do something to glorify his name? How often do we not do that stuff when we could have? Because we're in fear where there was no fear. There was nothing to be afraid of. You know, so often I encounter people, you know, as a pastor or minister that they're all stressed out, especially over relationships. You know, they just think people are talking about them. They're, you know, afraid they've offended somebody, and so that's why they haven't returned their emails or they haven't texted them back or, you know, they left them a message about wanting to get together, but it's been 2 days and they haven't gotten back, and they're just sure that this person is mad at them, that this person is never going to talk to them again. They just go on, and the whole time, you know, it was something simple, like, you know, the person was sick with the flu. They didn't feel like making a phone call, or maybe they went camping. They were out someplace where they didn't have cell service, or, you know, whatever it was. You know, that's one of the things that people get caught up in. They get worked up in fear when there's no reason to be in fear. Okay, we have a saying in our house, when things get really chaotic and, you know, everybody's life, sometimes things get a little busy. They really get going. They start getting worked up. We say, wait a minute. Is Jesus still on the throne? Is God still in power? Okay, then. Everything's going to be all right. You know, God made some promises to us, and we believe that God will take care of us. And we fully hold on to that and just believe it wholeheartedly. God made promises and some pretty awesome promises to Abraham. And when Abraham began to struggle a little bit and kind of waver a little bit in his belief that this was going to come to pass, here's what happened. Genesis 15:1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and I am thy exceeding great reward. God spoke to him again and simply said, you know, don't be afraid, Abraham. You know, I'm your shield. I'm the one that protects you. I'm the one that's going to provide for you. I am the one that is going to provide these promises for you. Now, sometimes we base our faith in God and our and think about the way that God is going to deal with us based on our human relationships. You know, we've got people in our life, everybody's got them, that some are, they're pretty faithful. You know, for the most part, they're going to come true and do with what they said they would do. But there's always those few that don't. There's always those times when, you know, a commitment just, you know, for whatever reason wasn't kept, or they let us down in some way. You know, children and their parents and that relationship and husband and wives, there's this thing that happens so often where, you know, we love this person, we trust this person, but they let us down in some way. And so we can begin to feel that. Okay? But we got to know that God is not like a man. Okay? He is always faithful to fulfill and complete what he says he will. God does not get a flat tire. God does not have something that comes up and, oh, he just couldn't keep his commitment. It does not happen with him. He always keeps his commitment. And when everybody else around you is getting into fear over something, like the economy or the weather or whatever it is, it takes some true courage to stand up and say, you know what, I'm just not afraid. You know, God is with me, so I'm not afraid. You remember the story about the spies? And I was telling that when they came back and they were seeing there was giants in the land, and that they just couldn't take it. They couldn't go into the land because of these giants. Two of the spies came back with a different story. You remember Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them. This is in Numbers chapter 14, verse 6. It says, which were of them that searched the land. They were part of some of the spies that went in. They rent their clothes. They tore their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. So Joshua and Caleb stood up, tore their clothes as a sign of how serious, how passionate they were that we can do this. They said, God has promised us this land, and God is with us now. Don't be afraid. Let's go take the land. But rather than it turning out like some kind of a Mel Gibson movie where all the troops rally behind them and start screaming, yeah, let's go take it, we can do it. Instead, they all picked up rocks, and they said that if they didn't be quiet, they were going to stone them to death. Okay? Joshua and Caleb's confidence was not in themselves. Their confidence was in God. If God was with them, they knew they were going to be all right. God has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. So whatever you're going through, whatever it is, you are going to be all right. You know, many years later when Joshua was leading an army into battle, God spoke to him again, Joshua 8:1. The Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. If God said to Joshua and reminded him not to be afraid, not to be discouraged, you can be sure that he is saying that to you today. Now, I know that I'm God's favorite. I know that God loves to bless me, but guess what? You're God's favorite, too. We can share him. God does not esteem one of us above another. He pours out his love and his blessing upon each one of us. I believe if you come up against something in life that it appears like it's just too big, like it's something that is going to defeat you, whatever it is. It might be cancer in your body. It might be something going on with your kidneys. It might be glaucoma kind of stuff coming on your eyes. It might be something with your kids. You just don't think they're ever going to come to Christ. It might be that there's, things going on at church. There's chaos. There's things happening, and you just don't know if you're going to make it through that. There might be whatever it is. You know that you're thinking that this thing might defeat you. It has the possibility of defeating you. You turn back to God, and you seek him about it. You turn back to God and talk to him about it. Joshua had just been defeated in battle. But when he talked to the Lord about it, God just simply said, I'm still with you. Fear not. Go at your enemy again, and this time listen to my instructions, and you're going to defeat him. God gave him specific instructions how to defeat their enemy, and it worked beautifully. They had gone about it kind of the wrong way. They went straight forward and went at it. They got chased back. They had to run from it. This time God says, here's what you do. You come from this side, you come from that side, you go at it like this, and you're going to be successful. So he went back. He had just been defeated, but he went back to God, and God said, here's what you do. Know that I am with you. Listen to what I'm about to tell you, and you're going to win. You're going to defeat your enemy. You know, David was another one in the Bible. He went through some tough times. He had more victories in his life, though, than defeats. You know, sometimes we come up against things, and I think that, you know, we go through some stuff so that we grow and are strengthened in our faith, and not that God is putting stuff on us, but, man, he's going to get us through it, and that just strengthens our faith in him, not in ourselves, but it strengthens our faith in him. But we know that David had more victories than he did defeats. He had to learn, though, that it wasn't himself or it wasn't anybody else, but that it was God that gave him the victory. Listen to what David said, Psalm 23. Most of us know this, many of us by heart. The Lord is my shepherd. This is what he had learned. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, so that my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you hear the language that he used? Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life too. You know, he had learned that the Lord was his shepherd and that he would make him to lie down in green pastures, that he would lead him by the still waters, that he would lead him in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You got to remember that life is about God. It's not about us. It's about the Almighty God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior, the Creator, our wonderful Almighty God. That's who life is about. And so when he wants to do things and when he wants to bless you, we simply receive it. We're not going to resist that or make it seem like, oh, that just can't happen or there's no way that we're going to allow this. No, we need to give in to God. We need to allow him to do what he wants to do. So often the devil tries to hold us back in life, but convincing us that the people around us are not for us. He tries to convince us that the people around us are against us. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You know, a snare is defined in if you just look it up in a dictionary, it's described as a device that entangles the unwary. Okay? A snare is something that is laid in the, if you think about it, laid in the usual trail, the normal path, but it is slightly camouflaged or hidden. Okay? Someone steps into it, then wham, they get caught up in it. It was something going through the everyday part of life. This is where sometimes we get off a little bit on what the devil's doing and how he's trying to come at us. But if he's looking at us, he's watching our life, he knows our patterns, he knows where we're going and what we're doing. And so he doesn't have to come up with some out of the blue wham to get into your life. He can lay that snare right out in front of something that you're already doing. It's a path you're already on. You're walking down it, then all of a sudden, wham, he's going to pull that. Okay? Well, we get caught up in that. The fear of man is like that, because it is a huge distraction to everyday life. Okay, we're going through our normal routines. We're going through the walk that we have with God. We're seeking him. We're studying. We're reading our Bible. We're going to church. We're praying. We're fellowshipping with believers. We're going through life, and then all of a sudden, wham, something gets pulled out of the picture, pulled out of the way, you know, like this snare. You know, it's a distraction. Huge feelings, you know, of rejection and you know, feeling like somebody doesn't like you or that, you know, you these things that come on your life and they can overtake your thought life to the point you're going to step right into a trap of the enemy and cause all kinds of unnecessary trouble. This is where the devil comes in and you're just going through normal life, and then all of a sudden he puts a seed in there. He plants something in your mind and gets you thinking that, you know what, that person probably doesn't really even like you. That person probably doesn't even care about you. You know, they're just doing this because you're so-and-so, or you're related to so-and-so, or, you know, whatever. He puts those seeds in there, and then, wham, draws you away, distracts you, pulls you aside, gets you all caught up in it so that you can't focus on anything else at night. You know, there's something to be said about that. When people get caught up in what people are thinking about them, they get caught up in, you know, I can't do this, and when I did that, then these people thought that, and they get caught up in that. Some people lay in bed at night, can't sleep, get up and down, go flip on the boob tube or whatever to try to calm their mind down so they can get some sleep, because they're rolling it through their mind about why somebody is against them. You know, one of the things that I absolutely love about Jesus is that he did not care. He didn't care about what people thought the way that we think about the way people think. You know, he didn't get caught up in that. Oh, you're not supposed to heal on the Sabbath day? Oh, well, I guess I missed that memo. You know, he went about doing what he did. He did it because that's who he was. God, you know, it showed him things. He walked in the Spirit and not according to the things of the flesh. So he was in the world but not of the world, the same as we can be, as we are, if we'll just not get caught up in the things of the world. We get caught up in following after this and going after that. There's all these things that distract us and pull us away. That's the fear of man. You know, though, when we learn to have our absolute contentment in God, when we learn to just commune with Him and to stay in the and walk in the according to the things of the Holy Spirit, when He leads us, He guides us, He prompts us, He shows us things, He reveals things to us, He tells us who to talk to, when to talk, He shows things through us. When we're doing that, we're not so caught up in what other people are thinking and whether we're doing things right. When we learn to have our contentment in God, that He is the only one whose focus and attention that we seek and that we feel comfortable when He is loving on us, we get, you know, we're not going to be so caught up in what other people are thinking about us. Hebrews 13:5 says to let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So He said, you know, be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What do you think He's implying that you have? You have the Lord. You're walking with Jesus. You've got Him in your heart. You're walking as a born-again child of God. You walk in the ways of the Lord. So you can be content in that. You know, I knew a girl before I was a Christian, and this girl just baffled me. She was so joyful. She was so carefree, and she just seemed to love life. I mean, this girl was on a college campus, and she would literally skip across the campus to go to class. She would dance. She would twirl around. She would stop and talk to people. She would, you know, stop and pet somebody's dog. She just had a good time. She was living her life, and I didn't understand it at the time. But it was because she was absolutely in love with Jesus. She was not there like so many of the other girls that were all primped up and doing their thing because they were trying to find a man. This one already had her man. His name was Jesus. And she just didn't care what other people thought. No matter what came her way, she knew that things were going to be fine because she knew that Jesus was right there with her. Now, as a lost person, that drew me to Jesus. I wanted to know, where did she get this? What does she have? I want what she has. And it took a few years after that before I finally came to Christ. I actually ran into another a friend of mine, and he was kind of in the same category. He walked in the Spirit. He was a Spirit-filled man of God, and he would speak things to me that there was no way that he would know, that only God knew. And he would speak these things to me, and I began to say, what is it about this guy? He's got something that I want. I want to know where he gets this peace. There could be total chaos. His car would break down or something would go wrong. He would still have peace. Wouldn't even shake him for a minute. Back as a lost person, that just baffled me when people didn't cuss when something went wrong, you know. And so he wouldn't even do that. He was just like, oh, okay, well, let's see. Lord, what do you want to do now? And he would just communicate with God. We'd move on. And this guy, I was a lost person looking at him saying, this guy's a nut. But at the same time, I wanted what he had. I knew that he had a peace inside. I knew that he wasn't afraid of things. He wasn't afraid of people or circumstances, anything. The guy had no fear. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. 2 Timothy 1:6 says this. It says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting out of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear is not from God. If you're afraid, if you're anxious, you're stressed out, you're worried, the devil's messing with you. He's trying to throw some things in there to stir you up, to get you all caught up. Things are never going to happen. You're not going to get your job done. There's things that won't happen. You know, that he's turned things up. We've got to know, turn back to God, ask him to smack the devil on the head, tell him to back off. I have a statement that I use when the devil comes at me, temptation or whatever it is, you know, spirit trying to torment me, get in my mind. You know, I say, stress, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I don't need you, I don't want you, and I don't have to have you. In the name of Jesus Christ, go away. And I tell him to get out of my life, and the devil has to obey. We resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, he's not some great big monster that can just overpower your life. God is bigger, okay? Great big God, little bitty devil. Remember that. Fear is not from God. Tell or turn to God, ask him to make the devil back off. You tell him to back off. Tell the devil what to do. Paul was exhorting Timothy because fear had gripped him. Okay? Fear was suppressing his talents and gifts and the abilities that God had given him for God to use through him. Okay, now, in your life, what gifts and abilities, what thing is the devil trying to hold you back from because you're going to bring glory to the Almighty God? What thing in your life, what areas is the devil trying to keep you from, to keep you from engaging in, to keep you in the boat, to keep you from stepping out, to keep you from helping someone, praying for somebody, you know, giving a word of God or whatever it may be? What areas is the devil trying to do that to you? Think about it a little bit. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he gave us power and love and of a sound mind. God has armed us against the spirit of fear. He has given us the spirit of power, or if you look that up, it's referring to courage and determination to face the dangers and difficulties that you're going to face. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power or courage, determination, to face the dangers and difficulties that you're going to face. He gave us the spirit of love, love toward God, love toward others. And we know the Bible says love conquers all. Knowing that God loves us, knowing how much he loves us, knowing that he cares for us, it carries us through the opposition that we come up against. It carries us on and beyond the circumstance by understanding how much he loves us. That's where I shared at the beginning of this message, or earlier at the beginning of the show, about, you know, people that go into a church service, these certain churches out there that just, you know, they hinder the power, the presence of God. They say it's not for today. They try to convert people with a head knowledge and pound people into doing good things. And if you just do enough, then God will be pleased. And, you know, they do all this goofy stuff. It's just not it. We've got to understand that the love of God conquers all. Love conquers all things. It bears up all things. Love does what it needs to do. When you know that God loves you, it takes the performance out of your life. Okay, trying to be a people pleaser, you know, we're talking about the fear of man. Trying to be a people pleaser is going to run you ragged. It'll wear you out. You'll be always going here and doing this and got to do that and got to make this phone call and got to do it. It wears you out. There's no point in it. God has given us the spirit of a sound mind, the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. That sound mind means quietness of mind. It means a peaceable enjoyment of ourselves where you can be at peace. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Matthew Henry wrote in his commentary of a sound mind, he said, "For we're oftentimes in our way and work by the creatures of our own fancy and imagination, which a sober, solid thinking mind would obviate and would easily answer." If we just keep our peace about ourselves, if we just keep that soundness of mind that God has given us, then we don't get caught up in fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a courageous spirit, a victorious spirit of power and of love and of a sound, unwavering mind. God takes care of us as his children. He loves us immensely, intensely, and cares for us and all the things that go on in our life. We know that God wants to bless us. We know that God wants to hold us dear unto him, but we know that when the enemy comes at us and throws things like fear upon us, man, there's all kinds of fear. I haven't even dealt with fear of failure. You know, how many people don't do something because they're afraid they're going to fail? You know, if I just do this, if I do that, man, it might not work. You know, might fall through. You know, I don't want to, you know, be a blessing. I don't want to do that because, man, if I give too much, then, wow, I just might not have enough. And so this fear of not having enough, a fear of lack, a fear of failure, the fear of man, these things, when they come into your life, it's not of God. God has not given us the spirit of fear. He gave us that courageous, victorious spirit of power and of love to understand his love, the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts from one side to the other. It's not just a little bit. It is completely enveloping your heart, your deepest part of your being. God gave us this unwavering mind so that we don't have to flip back and forth. Well, yeah, God's going to take care of me. Well, maybe not. Well, yeah, maybe not. You remember when Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain? God told him, take your only begotten son up on the mountain of Moriah, and he wanted him to sacrifice him up on the mountain. He didn't waver on it. if you know that story, he got up the next morning, saddled up the donkeys and got his servant, and they got the wood, they got all the stuff together, and they headed off. And it took them 2 to 3 days to get there. And once they got there, then he took them up on the mountain. He told the servant, you stay here, and they're walking up there. And Isaac's like, hey, I see we got the wood, but where's the sacrifice? And even then, he says, God will provide the sacrifice. He had a trust in him. He didn't waver on it. It wasn't on again, off again. He didn't stop halfway and say, well, maybe I should re-pray about this. Maybe I really need to make sure that I heard God. You know, there's got to be some way to maintain our faith and our trust in him. Okay, we've got to stay with God. We're going to deal with that spirit of fear here in a little bit, but I also want to talk about something else that the devil tries to throw at us. He has what I call an antichrist desire for anti-worship. The devil does not want you to worship God. He doesn't want you to worship the one that he hates. Okay, you ever think about that? How much God loves you and cares for you, but the devil hates God. Okay, and so as we love God and we're serving him, the devil hates the fact that we're doing that. He was so prideful that he thought he was better than God to begin with. And so when we worship God, he doesn't want that. He wants us worshiping him. You know, whether it's our personal study time or, you know, we go to church or, you know, going to church. Sometimes people don't even go. They excuses or things start coming up and they don't get in on it. Okay, we got to understand that God is in our life. You know, these opportunities and things that come up in our life, we have to know that the Antichrist desires anti-worship. Okay, he doesn't want us to worship God. Think about some things in your life. Maybe I'm going to name a couple things. I think I wrote down 6 or 7 different things here. But as we go through things, think about your life and let God stir you up on the inside. Excuse me, don't get caught up in discouragement or thinking, oh, man, my life's no good. I got to change. I got to do this. I got to do that. Don't get caught up in performance and works and all that kind of stuff. Just allow the Holy Spirit to minister unto you, to touch your life, to minister in his way, in the way that he's going to do. How does Satan go about discouraging us? A lot of different ways. One of the things he does is he makes the world look beautiful and attractive. First, I want to say is if you're just joining us, my name is Gary Gilbert, and I'm a pastor of the Oasis Church of Rawlins, Wyoming, and I am filling in for John Kyle, who is at the Whitestone Remnant Conference in Bozeman this weekend. He's one of the guest speakers there. So he was tied up. He asked if I'd fill in for him. I've known John Kyle for almost 20 years and been serving with him in ministry for a lot of that time. He has the Oasis Church of Billings and a website of theoasisplace.org. And I have the Oasis Church of Rawlins in Rawlins, Wyoming, and it is oasischurchofrawlins.com. I love the man enough that my church is actually named after his church because we spent so many years together serving and building ministries together. I'm talking a little bit. We talked about fear and the fear of man and those kind of things, but I want to share just a couple minutes on worship and how the devil tries to keep us from worshiping him. See where we're at. We've got a few minutes here. One of the things the devil does is try to make the world look beautiful. Okay? He wants the world to look attractive to you. If you remember, there's some scriptures in I want to look at Luke real quick. In Luke chapter 8, verse 7, where Jesus is given them the parable of the sower and the soils. In Luke 8, 7, he says, and then some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Verse 14 says, he gives the explanation for it. He says, and that which fell among the thorns are they which when they had heard, they go forth and they're choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to perfection. Okay, many are going to fall prey to this. You know, they may remain a believer, but they go from pursuing God with a passion. I mean, you've been there. God is everything, man. You wake up in the morning, it's good morning, Jesus. You're going to bed at night, it's see you in the morning, Jesus. You know, we're constantly in communion with him, and you've seen that. People with a passion, and then to begin to pursue the pleasures of this world. Because you know what? This world has a lot to offer as far as lusting, you know, pleasures and things to get you caught up in it. You know, but as a Christian, to get caught up in seeking after and pursuing after the pleasures of the world instead of going after God, we get drawn away. That's one of the things the devil does to make us not worship God anymore. Secondly, he makes you aware of the fact that those who worship the Lord have often faced danger. those that worship the Lord, they might suffer loss. They might suffer in some way. Satan loves to present the high cost of obedience, persecution being one of his favorites, you know, one of the favorite angles that he uses to try to get at you. He tries to make you think that, man, if you just do this, the things are going to be miserable. You know, you don't want to do that. There's a scripture in John chapter 12, verse 42, where he's sharing. He said, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogues. Here's that fear of man stuff we were just dealing with a little bit ago. But here's that, they believed on him, the chief rulers, they believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, because of that fear of man, they were afraid of what they might say to him, they didn't confess him. They didn't claim him as, you know what, this is the Lord, this is the Messiah. You know, they were afraid they'd be put out of it. And the very next verse in verse 43 tells us the root of why they didn't do it. It was a self-centered pride. Verse 43 says, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Okay, now that is one of the things the devil tries to do that. If you're getting the praise of men, maybe you're great at work. Maybe you're good at what you do. God has blessed you in such a way, but maybe that has begun to pull you away, where you're beginning to seek after the praise of man instead of the praise of God. You're forgetting where all these good things came from. You know, ask yourself, you know, what if I let go of pride? What if I let go and let God do whatever he desires to do? What if it even makes me look foolish? You know, God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. This is one of the things I shared earlier about Jesus I love about the guy, because he would do it anyway. He didn't care if it would make him look foolish, but, you know, he knew the end result. He knew what was going to be coming out of it. Okay? I think a liberating movement in the 90s was people getting caught up in allowing God to do exactly what he wanted to do. You know, the boldness in the church, when you yield to him and you allow him to do what he wants to do, the boldness in your life rises to the surface. It comes out in ways that you have never seen before. Okay? Another way Satan tries to get into your life, try to keep you from worshiping God, is he makes your prayer, your worship, your study time, he makes those things seem like it's really hard to do. And he convinces you that, oh, man, it's just so much work to have to go and sit down with your Bible and read, and you just don't have time for that. It makes it seem like it's some big heavy burden, something that, you know what, you don't do it real good anyway. I know that's good grammar, but he makes it seem like you do a poor job of it anyway. You know, you really can't discern things out of the Bible. He tries to tell you things that are trying to keep you from doing it. You know, if you tell yourself, and if you're convinced by the enemy that, oh, I'm just not really good at praying. You know, I just don't like to pray. I don't even know what to pray. Okay? You know, or if you think, well, the Bible's just, you know, it's just hard for me to understand. You know, or you think, I don't really, you know, want or even feel like putting a smile on my face and going to be around Christians, you know. It's just, you know, they'll come up with all these excuses for why we can't do it. It's like it's too hard for the kids, or, you know, with the kids around or with different things. It just seems like there's so many excuses, so many things that will come up. The devil tries to get at you and to hold you back. What else? He tries to deceive people into thinking that they do not need anyone or anything but Jesus. Okay, now that's a strong statement, and it may make you question a little bit. What's this guy talking about? He says we don't need, you know, we need more than Jesus. Well, God designed the body of Christ. Okay, we're all different parts. We all supply some necessary part. God set some in the body of Christ. You know, there's pastors and prophets and evangelists, there's teachers, there's different people in that area, but there's also different parts that are the servants. There's the people that are ministering in the one-on-one stuff in the back of the children's church room, and they're meeting some needs that way. There's people that God has called in as a hand or a foot. You know, we're not all going to be fulfilling the exact same thing. You know, if we all, you know, have a hand, but it doesn't, you know, think about this. If you have a hand, but it doesn't function, you know, then we as a person are not going to maybe function to our fullest capacity. You know, there's things that we may or may not be able to do. So God needs all the parts of it to engage in what he has designed for us to do. Satan tries to convince you that those who follow Christ passionately are poor and despised. You know, the Pharisees thought they had it all figured out. They implied that those who didn't know and adhered to the law were accursed, is what he said. You know, they tried to get people not to follow and not to stay in there. Now, the devil's going to try to show you the majority of the people in the world, especially the great and the rich, the intellectual, the elite, the wise, the honored, that they don't worship God. So you don't have to either, that you shouldn't either. You know, they serve self, and the devil tries to get in there and tell you in your head, you know, you'd be better off just to be like them. You don't need that. You don't need them. He tries to convince you that Jesus is not the only way. You know, look how successful these other people are. They don't waste several hours a week in church being told why or why not, or, you know, why not to live the way they do. You know, he's going to draw you, the devil's going to draw you away from scriptures, like it says in Exodus 23, verse 2. It says, thou shalt not follow the multitude to do evil. So the devil's going to try to steer you away from things like that. He doesn't want you thinking on those things. He's going to try to fill your thoughts with unimportant things, distracting thoughts, while you're attempting to worship, to study, or to pray. You know, being busy all the time falls into this category. I don't know how many of you guys, but man, the devil will try to use that one on a regular basis to try to get you so busy that you cannot even function. You begin to lack sleep. You begin to not feed yourself, take care of yourself, to take care of the temple of God, and pretty soon, you know, he's got you right where he wants you, laying in bed, homesick, not feeling good, not wanting to get involved in things, not wanting to pray, not wanting to read your Bible, not wanting to do this stuff. You know, Satan's going to encourage you to take comfort also in past performances, like religious performances. Here's what the devil takes something that was a great thing in your life. You know, you used to spend 3 hours a day in the Word, and you worshiped all the time. You went to church 4 times a week. I don't know about you, as a young Christian, you know, I absolutely still cannot get enough of church. I am in church. I know I pastor, but even as I'm not in other people's churches and ministries, I am there every time the doors are open. I absolutely love going to church. I'm going to learn. I'm going to grow. I'm going to, you know, my relationship with God is going to be fostered. I'm going to grow in faith and walk in the anointing, walk in all that he has for us. You know, so the devil's going to tell you things like, you know what, you used to do all those things. You used to have all that, so you kind of earned the right to coast for a while. You know, you don't have to have all that. You know, he's going to tell you, you already know this stuff, or, you know, well, you already prayed this, and you've already done that, and so he's going to try to get you to rest in your intimacy with God, to not pursue him, not seek after him. It's just a lie. It's just something that he's trying to draw you away and to get you to do other things. You know, what can we do about it? Psalm, you know, the Lord tells us that his strength is sufficient for all the things that he needs to do. There's a scripture in Philippians 4:6 that says, be careful for nothing, but within everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, remind yourself that you are hungry for God. Remind yourself that you are dependent on him. Remind yourself that God is bigger than any problem, any circumstance, anything that could possibly come your way, and he is worthy of it all. You know, the devil doesn't want you to worship God, to get to spend time in prayer and study and worship. He doesn't want you going to church. But God is bigger, faster, stronger, better than anything the devil has. So don't fall for that trap. Don't get into that. Don't allow him to draw you away and to keep you from God. You know, I know I've shared on a few different things, and we're going to get into it a little bit. So we're going to have some call-in time if you guys are interested in calling in to be able to share a little bit. Maybe you have a need. Maybe God is speaking something to you or through you or doing something in your life that you would like some prayer about. I told you earlier I spent many, many years under John Kyle and his deliverance ministry. The first time I met the guy, he was casting devils out of a young man, and he's been doing it for many, many years. I've been working in it for almost 20 years myself. It's one of those things that just sets people free. It allows us to have the freedom to be who we are in Christ. I believe that God loves us. He cares for us. I'm a grace preacher. I absolutely love the grace of God, and he pours this unmerited favor upon us. But people are holding back. They're resisting that because they don't think they're worthy. And so getting some of that spiritual stuff dealt with through deliverance. May we cast out some of the spirits of fear, the things that hold us back from serving and doing those things. It allows us, it opens us up to the things that God has so that we can actually hear it and spend time with God, letting him do what he wants to do in our life. So let me just close this time out. We're going to get into this in just a couple minutes. We'll get into some call-in time, but I just want to say thank you to you, Heavenly Father. You're the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Savior, the Redeemer of all, in whom we love and trust, and I praise you tonight. Thank you for this opportunity to share your word, the gospel, the love of Jesus, the power of God that manifests through your people, even today, Lord. We thank you that your power is here to stay. You're here today, Father, to minister unto us. We thank you that you love us unconditionally, that you never leave us nor forsake us. You don't turn your back on us, Father, because we have put our faith not in us to do the right things, but in Jesus Christ who has done the right things. We are pleasing to you because he is pleasing to you. We are righteous because he is righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and we praise you for that. Father, we thank you. Deal with this spirit of fear, Father. Command it down in our lives, Lord. Prepare us for the next opportunities that we have to be able to spend time with you and your letting you minister unto us and take us where you want to go, Lord. We praise you. We thank you for it. We'll get into some more ministry and time of calling in just a few minutes.
I'll not be afraid, I will have faith, Jesus is with me. I'm never alone, 24 hours a day. What comes, I will not run, I will take courage and conquer every worry in my life. Did I fail? My enemy lies, telling me I'm not gonna make it. He wants me to think that I'm weak and I'm gonna fall. God is my shield and I know he'll never forsake me. For faithful is the Lord of my salvation who calls. Nothing can separate me from the love I find in Christ. I am secure in Jesus, standing firmly in his grace. I'm more than a conqueror.
Hey, well, thanks for hanging in there with me. This is Pastor Gary Gilbert. I am a pastor of the Oasis Church of Rollins, Wyoming. I am filling in for John Kyle, who has the Oasis Church of Billings. If you're interested in getting a hold of either one of us, Pastor John Kyle and Linda, they are at the Oasis Church of Billings, and that is theoasisplace.org. That is a great, great website. If you're interested in any of his materials, his DVDs, CD sets, tons and tons of information on deliverance. Both of them have written books. John Kyle has recently written a book. I don't think I plugged his book yet. He has a great book that is out called Do You Have Demon Troubles or Are You Having Demon Troubles? It is, a couple hundred pages. It is a very, very powerful book that is, you know, if you're just getting started in deliverance, it'll give you way up a lot of information. But if you've been doing it for a little while or you're interested, you kind of know a little bit about it, it is going to confirm and show you a lot of the things that maybe you've been questioning or wondering even about it. I actually was blessed to be able to write the foreword to that. I'm a writer myself, and so was able to read through that material, and I know that it is worthwhile. John Kyle is an excellent speaker when it comes to talking on deliverance and sharing and ministry and those kind of things, and he's just a powerful man of God. He does a great job of discerning things, discerning spirits. You can share problems with it. If you've had issues in your life, maybe there's some issue that, you know what, it just kind of keeps coming up. You can't seem to get over it. Guys deal a lot with lust issues and pornography and those kind of things, and there's just emotional things that come in. There's lots of hindrances that try to stop you from being who you are in Christ, and sometimes there's this thing that might keep coming up and recurring in your life. You pray about it, it seems to get better, but then it comes back. You're probably dealing with spirits. You're probably dealing with some demons. And Jesus went around casting demons out. A third of his ministry was spent doing that. John and Kyle is fully aware of that and latched onto that and able to put some really good things in writing and on CDs and other ministry opportunities that he has. So that's theoasisplace.org. If you're interested in supporting him as well and supporting this radio program, that's a great place to do that. You can do that right through that site. You can find out what events and where Pastor John might be speaking and other things coming up. Like I said, he's at the Whitestone Remnant Conference in Bozeman, Montana this weekend. That's why I'm filling in for him. And the other thing I'll give you real quick is my contact information. If you're interested in supporting what we do here in Wyoming, I told the story earlier about working a sideline job to pay for what I love to do, which is pastoring. If you're willing or interested in supporting us in any way, you can check us out at Oasis Church of Rollins, R-A-W-L-I-N-S, oasischurchofrollins.com. And you'll find on there our address of the church and also a mailing address is on there as well. I'd love to hear from you. I've got some people that are waiting and hopefully interested in sharing, and you know, we can do all different kinds of things as we get going. I did want to say something else as we kind of lean forward into this. I know a lot of us have dealt a little bit with deliverance and been around for a while, and maybe not everybody has, and so I tend to share this. When it comes to deliverance, God has set us up in such a beautiful way to create us as a child of God in his image. Okay, and you know the temple of God, the dwelling place, the tabernacle, this place was set up in Old Testament times as three separate parts. There was like this outer part, and then there was an inner part, and inner court, and then there was the Holy of Holies. Okay, there was this deep place in there where, you know, very, very few were ever able to go in there. You had to be as righteous as you could be righteous in those days in order to actually be able to enter in there. And I've heard the story that as they would go in, that if they had sin in their life, if they were not righteous, that they were struck dead. So that they got in this habit of actually tying a rope around them, had bells hanging on them, so that if they went into the Holy of Holies, they got into this place, the presence of God would just strike them dead because they had sin in their life, and so they would be able to hear the bells quit ringing and they would drag them on out. Okay, well, you have to know this. First off, Jesus Christ has torn down the middle wall of partition between us and God so that we, as regular you and I folks, common people, can enter into the presence of God. We can enter into the Holy of Holies and have fellowship and grace and receive grace and help in time of need. We can enter right into that and receive every little bit that we need. Okay, well, I share this about the three parts mainly because God then created us in that same image where we have three parts. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. Okay, And the Bible shares that in a couple different places and kind of describes what these different parts are for. Your body is basically the housing, the dwelling place of the rest of it. The body is what we feed and what we require sleep and those kind of things, food and drink and sleep and those kind of things. Then we have our mind, which is our mind, will, and emotions. That's kind of the second part of that. Your soul is what that describes. So your body, soul, and spirit. Your soul being your mind, will, and emotions. That's the part where we get sad, we get excited, where, you know, that's where the devil tries to get in there to torment us, some things in our soul. And then we have the spirit, the holy place, the place where Jesus is, the place that will be with God, okay, the place that connects with God. God speaks to us through his spirit. He is the spirit. We connect with him in the spirit. We live in the spirit. We walk in the spirit. And there's a point in there in the spirit. So we're body, soul, and spirit, and we connect with God on that. I say that because when it comes to devils, demons, and deliverance and all these kind of things, we've got to know that and have that issue secured, that a demon cannot get into your spirit. God is in your spirit, and God and the devil don't hang out. Jesus does not hang out with the devil. And so if Jesus is in your heart, he is in your spirit, he is in your deep part of your being, the devil cannot get in there. What the devil does is attack your body and your soul, so your mind, will, and emotions. That's where he can attack and try to get on there. Like Pastor John always calls it barnacles on a boat. You know, it tries to attach in some way, and it's up to us. We call it a power and utilize the power that has been given to us, you know, and we flick those barnacles off of there so that we can have freedom from it, so that we can live out this life of unmerited favor and grace of God, that we can live out the true life as a Christian of God. And so we're able to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit he has given unto us. Let me see if I've got a couple people that have been have logged on. If you're interested in sharing a need or have something in your life going on you wanted to talk about, I am more than willing for people to call in. We can do prayer and ministry. God speaks through me towards the people of God. He uses, I'm going to toot my own horn, God toots it for me. He has used me in some mighty ways for healing, miraculous things we've had. There was a lady that was, she was 94 years old when I met her. She was afraid to go in. She was having some surgery, and they were going to have to put her under, and she was afraid to go in for that. Her granddaughter came to me and said, my grandma's going in for surgery. She's afraid, you know, what happens if she dies? Would you mind coming and sharing Jesus with her? And so I did, and I shared. I got, you know, down on my knee next to her wheelchair, and I opened the Bible, and I showed her scriptures. I shared with her about the power of God and Jesus and the salvation through him, and she spoke with her mouth. I right here, right now, 94 years old, accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. This peace came over her, and she said, now I'm ready. Now I can go in and do this surgery. She did that. She survived the surgery. She lived for another couple years. And when she was 96, she had an issue. I went over to her house just to pray with her and talk with her and share with her. She couldn't read really good, so I would read to her. And she shared with me and this other young lady that was there, another Christian, and shared that her eye had this serious pain in it, like she was getting something wrong with her eye. And she asked if we would pray with her for her eye. So we laid hands on her in the name of Jesus and just prayed that her eye be healed. And it wasn't 5 minutes later, and, you know, I was reading the Bible to her again, and she says, Gary, my eye doesn't hurt anymore. And it was completely gone, completely better. That's one occasion of an eye, and I bring that up because for whatever reason, God has had me pray for people's eyes, for being able to see, for dealing with glaucoma stuff. I had another guy that got hit in the face with a basketball. His eye was swollen shut. He was a fellow believer. I had happened to go hiking up on a mountain, and he happened to be up there with his youth group, and he comes to me and says, Gary, I believe that if we walk over to that lake over there, you pick up some of the mud off that and you smear it on my eye, we pray that I will be healed. And I said, I'm with you. Let's go lay it in the Lord's hands. And so we went. We did exactly that, laid hands on him, prayed in the name of Jesus for his eye to be healed, and he was better by the time it got down off the mountain. His eye was not red. It was wide open, and he could see nothing wrong with his eye. He had like a torn cornea or something is what they told him. And he came off the mountain completely and perfectly healed. We had another occasion where a young lady was, they had come to, I was over at a friend's house, and her daughter came in from outside where she had been out jumping on the trampoline, And she did one of those things you do sometimes. You come down awful hard and your knee comes up, and it caught her right in the bottom of her chin, and it made her bite through her tongue. And as she bit, of course, she comes running in the house. Blood is pouring out of her mouth. And she did, you know, we literally took a towel and put it up on her mouth, and it just soaked this towel up with blood. And me and two other believers said, let's pray. Let's see this healed right here. And we laid hands on her in the name of Jesus Christ and prayed for her to be healed. And her mouth, I kid you not, within 30 minutes, she was sitting at the dinner table eating hot dogs with ketchup on it. And I don't know if you've ever done that, if you've ever had a cut in your mouth and you eat something with salty ketchup, it is going to burn like crazy. But she didn't even feel it. She didn't even know it. In fact, as soon as we laid hands on her, I don't like getting glory when that healing comes, and so I left immediately and went outside and began mowing the lawn for this lady. That's why I went over to her house to begin with. So I just went outside real quick, started mowing the lawn, and that girl came running up to me about 10 minutes after I left the house and said, Gary, look, Jesus healed my tongue. And she stuck her tongue out at me, and it was completely healed. Then a few minutes after that is when we actually went in the house and ate. So I'm telling you, God is still doing powerful things today. He has healed my son's arm. He got it broken, and we were chopping, splitting firewood, and a big log got rolled onto his arm, and it literally, he couldn't move it. His fingers were all numb. His whole arm was, useless. And of course, he was screaming and crying. And you know what? My wife said, we don't have insurance. We have assurance. At that time, we did not have any kind of health care, insurance, any of that stuff. So we said, let's just lay hands on him and believe that, you know, the usher, the Lord, is going to do what he needs to do. And we laid hands on him, and within the hour, nothing wrong with his arm. And that's just, I could go on and on. God has done so many times where he has healed people, stopped bleeding, healed eyes, healed arms, healed legs, healed ankles. Just continually goes on and doing things in people's lives. So he is alive and well. God loves to bless his children. You know, the guy comes to Jesus and says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. And Jesus said, I will. You know, people were just coming to him believing, setting aside all their fears and all the things that were trying to hold them back, and being able to come unto him. The number, if you want to call in right now, our guest call-in number is area code 657-383-0134. You can call into that and see what's going on if you want to be able to get some ministry time in, or if you want to pray, you just have something God has laid down in your heart. I can answer. I was just looking at some chats here, and Mrs. Jones, it is the Oasis Church of Rawlins, and it's RAWLINS.com. So the Oasis Church of Rawlins, RAWLINS, named after General Rawlins. Let's just pray right now. I believe that someone is requesting prayer for a pain in the neck. There's a lot of different references to that, that, boy, somebody is a pain in the neck or different things. But I tell you, when you've got one, it is no fun. And I know that God knows that. And I know that God loves to touch people's lives, to heal them, to minister unto them. Let's just pray right now. Father, we just call forth your power, your glory, your ministry. Father, it's all of you. Father, we know you love us. We know you care for us. We know you take our lives seriously, what is going on in our life, Father. And we just pray right here and right now for that healing in this neck that it requires, Father. If there's pain, then there's something awry, Father, and we know that you are the liner-upper. You're the one that puts all the things where they need to be, all the stars, countless grains of sand, countless things that you have put in perfect order to form. So, Father, we pray that right here and now, that you put everything in Mrs. Jones's neck in the perfect place where it needs to be, Father, that your hand is upon her, Lord, that your spirit is moving in her life and in her neck, Lord, that you are lining up each and every vertebrae, each and every cell, each and every molecule in there, Father, to light it up the way that you intended for it to be, Lord. You created us. You formed us in the womb, Father. You created this beautiful and wonderful masterpiece, Father, created in your image. And I pray that you will line up each and every part of that in this person's body exactly the way that you want it. Lord, let your power be manifest in this life, Lord. Let it be manifest to show how awesome and powerful you are. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, there is nobody more powerful than you. There is none that can glorify anything else. Thank you, Sue. Praise you. Thank you for just putting your trust in the Lord and believing that God wants to do some things in your life, believing that God loves you and cares for you enough to be able to minister unto you and to touch your life. God is a good and awesome God, and he cares for you. Hallelujah. Since I'm fairly new with this studio, so I'm going to step out here because I'm not exactly sure how I know who has called in to be able to share and who has a request and those kind of things. So I'm going to do something crazy and just click on one of these things. Hello, are you with me this morning or this evening?
Hello?
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 Yeah, this is Pastor Gary Gilbert. I am doing the Deliverance Today with John Kyle show. Are you interested? Do you have a prayer need or anything you'd like to share today?
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm actually in the room here. I'm. Could this be the end? Yes, I have a request to make, a prayer request. I've been seeking the Lord here these past couple weeks about a few things about my life. And last year I was diagnosed with Graves' disease. My thyroid was hyperactive. And it's just, I know that the Lord has been helping me and guiding me and keeping me strong. And it's still pretty inflamed. And I just hear lately, Pastor, actually here for a while now, I've been so tired. I've been in a lot of pain, and I've been going through some anxiety here. And I've been crying out and seeking God as hard as I can, just pushing it in as hard as I can. I've been seeking and asking for a word. I've been asking for a sign, a dream, a word, but if I'm on the right path, is there a reason why that my thyroid is still the way it is and why I'm still going through what I'm going through right now? Because it's incredibly hard. You know, I'm 24 years old, and I hear this now. People are like, why are you always tired? Why? You should be in your prime. And I'm like, I'm not. I am tired. I'm hurt. I go through anxiety, and it's just, I don't know why. I mean, I know why, and at the same time, I want to know why. I'm not complaining. I went to God about that, and I told him, I'm like, Father, I'm done complaining. I'm not complaining, but I really would like to know why, Father. And I feel the Holy Spirit right now. I feel His presence right now. I've just been seeking Him. I just want to know if I'm on the right path, that if I need to change something in my life.
What kinds of things have you done, and what are you... Tell me more of your story here. What's your journey? What's it been up to this point?
Oh, my goodness. It's been on very, very, very nice, very strong. I started my walk last year on July 17th. I was in the ER. I landed in the ER because my thyroid was really big. Long story short, that's when I heard God for the first time, spoke through me to me, saying that I need to change my ways or I'm going to die. And I did. And up to this point, our Father has been showing me dreams, visions. I've been baptized, and I know that I've been baptized in the holy fire. I feel Holy Spirit so strongly, and I know God has been revealing these dreams to me, or showing me, God has really been helped. Like, I've been growing incredibly fast, at a fast pace, from last year until now, and I just, here lately, it's just been going, like, you know, like I said, I've been so tired, and I'm hurting, and I don't know why. And I've been talking to a few people. I prayed for them, and I give all the glory and praise and honor to God. And as I'm being led by the Holy Spirit, and thus far in my walk, I have learned a lot. I have, and I know we are still learning every single day. I'm tormented with this anxiety, my thyroid being tired all the time. I'm hurting, and I can't explain it. I don't know. And I know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ He has delivered me from a lot of things. When I started my walk, He delivered me from smoking, a lot of things. I instantly quit so many bad habits, and of course those thoughts come and go, and I know where they're coming from, but I have not fell back into it, and I've been keeping strong in the Lord, Pastor, and been fighting, and I pray, I cry out to Him. Like today, I was just sitting there as I was going through, I was being hit with, and I just, like the enemy, I see a pattern the way the enemy hits me. I see it. I'm starting to see it. He hits me every time, lust, fear, and anger. Like those three are always constantly hitting me. And it's annoying. It truly is annoying, because I know that I have victory over lust in Jesus Christ. He's delivered me from that. And anger, I'm still struggling. Like, I'm not angry. I just, like, certain, like, things happen that it's just like, are you serious? And I don't know, maybe it's because I'm young. I don't know. But I've been praying to Father to help me to control, help me to control my emotions. Help me, please, because I don't, you know, that's one thing. I don't want my emotions to get in the way. And it's just, with me just feeling tired all the time, and I physically just feel, I mean, spiritually, I feel so amazing, but physically, I feel so weak and tired all the time. It's like I can barely do anything. Like, I can't. It's like I feel so weak. And I've just been asking God, why? What's going on? Is it something that I'm doing? Is it something that is happening to me? Why is this happening to me, God? And I understand that we must suffer like the good soldiers of Jesus Christ. I understand. And I'm not upset. I'm not mad. It's incredibly difficult, because when, like, I'm 24 years old and I feel like I can't do much because I'm always tired. And yeah, like what Sue said, you know, when the body starts hurting, it's just like, oh, God, I need your help. I need you to sustain me. Because I feel like I can't, like, I know I can't do this alone. I'm going off subject real quick. God has allowed me to try a couple things on my own to teach me, and I know better. I know I can't do this on my own. We can't. We just can't. And that's why I put my faith, my trust in God. And that's one thing over these past few months that my faith has increased in God so much. I trust and I'm waiting patiently. But I would really like a word, a prayer, to know what's going on with my body. Why am I going through this? No? Because I feel horrible, Pastor. I feel horrible, and I don't.
Yeah, and I think what, even like what Sue had said, there's so many people that are in a lot of pain, and the way our body feels has an effect on us. And I think that's why, when the devil tries to come at us, he's going to attack us in different ways, and the body is definitely one of those areas that he wants to try to get in there. Things that, just as we're kind of talking, I'm thinking about your spiritual walk and your growth. You said you're growing and, very quickly and learning. How are you doing that? Do you sit down and just read, or are you, do you fellowship somewhere? Do you have church you go to? Tell me more about your spiritual walk.
I know I need to read the Word more. I do read the Word. I've read a large portion of the Old Testament. I've read the New Testament a couple times already. I know we got to keep reading it every day. I do fail that. Sorry, Father. I do go to church. It is a very small church, but it's very Holy Spirit filled. I feel His presence in the church. I love the church. I go every Sunday. I pray. I pray. I know I can always pray more, but I pray and pray and pray. I love praying. That's one thing I prayed about. I asked God a couple months back, God, please make me into a praying man, and praise the Lord Jesus Christ, He has. I don't know what more I can do. I pray. I need to read more. I do read. I worship. I listen to music. I get into spirit. I know the Lord has blessed me with the gift to speak in tongues, I'm so humbled, and it's such a blessing. I love it.
Well, I was just thinking, just as we're talking here and just kind of listening, I think, some of the things that you're growing in and learning, and we'll deal with this pain and tiredness and things. I think there's a real solution to that. My questions for you are some of the things, where do I begin? God wants to bless you, and I keep saying that, and that is a huge, huge part of receiving the things of God. And we have to get away from, you have to kind of steer yourself in a direction. Something in your life, and I don't know you from Adam, really. I'm just getting a little bit of your story, but you've been somehow programmed in the world's ways of performance, that we have to do certain things, and when we do that, then God will be pleased with us. And the grace of God is more powerful than anything that we can do. And grace is simply, we put our faith in Jesus, we trust in Him. You've done that, and so I'm going to call you a young believer in the Lord, is learning to understand that it's not based on us; it's all based on Jesus. God put every blessing, everything He needed to into one basket, and His name was Jesus. So He put it all on Him and laid it all on Him. So, I guess when I hear, a couple of things you said, something about I read, but I need to read more. I pray. I love to pray. That's my strength. I'm really good at praying. I love to pray, and that's kind of your strength. Well, then you're looking at your life, and you're picking out the weaknesses and thinking, what am I not doing enough of? What am I not doing well enough? Yeah, I need to read more. I need to do this more. I need to do more of that. And that begins to focus then on you instead of what God has already done through Jesus. There's a scripture even in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that came up when you were talking, and this is what I think God was saying. He said, we are an ambassador for Christ. Okay? we pray you in Christ's stead that you be reconciled to God. For he has made him, he's talking about Jesus, he made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin. He didn't sin, Jesus didn't sin, he didn't do anything wrong, but God put all of our sin, all the bearing of that on him, and this is the key, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Okay, so when we understand that you are already righteous, you're not trying to earn some place with God. You're not trying to earn this blessing. It's not, if you read your Bible 10 hours a day, then God will bring healing into your life. God doesn't do that. God blesses you because God is a blesser, and he wants to bless you. He cares for you and wants to pour this out onto your life. God wants you to know that, you know, the only glory that he gets out of suffering is getting people out of it. And so there's not something that, you know, God is wanting to humble you or to keep you down, or, you know, you can use this time in your life for the greatest, fullest capacity that it is, which is, you know, if you're 24 and you're like most young 24s, I don't know what kind of things you're into, and here in this part of the country, you know, we're into outdoor stuff, man. If I'm 24, I'm fishing, I'm hunting, I'm riding four-wheelers, I'm, you know, doing this and doing that, and I'm out going and doing all this stuff, and guess what? During none of that time am I probably praising God, listening to worship music, or, you know, spending time with other believers. You know, you're kind of out doing these things. So right now, you actually have opportunity to do some of those things. And so maybe that's why, part of the reason why you are spiritually growing, you know, at a pretty good clip right now, understanding that God wants to bless you. He wants to pour things into your life, and you just openly receive it. If you can maintain that humility that, you know what, God, it is you, I'm going to receive from you, but don't get into any kind of self-condemnation or putting yourself down, feeling like you're not good enough, you can't make it, you need to do this, do that. You know, get away from that stuff, man. God is pouring it out on you in huge, huge amounts, and he just wants you to receive it. Now, I shared earlier, I think even with Sue, that, you know, when it comes to things in our body, God is the aligner. He's the one that puts things into place where they were supposed to be. He's the one that makes the earth rotate and the sun, you know, looks like it comes up and down, does all those things. God is extremely, you know, good at putting things in the right order. And so when it comes to physical things in our body that God created, there is no better, you know, scientist, mechanic, doctor, whatever, that we can go to than him. He's the one that created it. He knows every detail of it. He knows, he's the one that makes your, you know, nose run when you get a virus so that that virus gets out. You know what I mean? He created the body to heal itself. He created your finger. If you get a cut, you know, you kind of keep it clean and do a little bit of that stuff, but he's the one that makes those cells mend and to heal that up. So God has given your body the things that it needs to be able to heal from the inside out. But the supernatural, the miraculous, the Holy Spirit power comes on your life from God, who is the creator of all things. And so he is in your life and on your life and definitely doing some powerful things. One word that God gave me to tell you is, I don't know, what was your first name again?
I'm Josh.
Josh, go about your business. Simply that. Go about your business. Okay, the devil is trying to throw some things at you that, you know what, you can't do this. Well, I would do that, but I would get too tired. Or I would do this, but I can't. And God is saying, as much as you possibly can, go about your business. You do the things that God is, you're leading, and, you know, you're wanting to be able to go and to do these things and allow him to continue with the healing ministry that he's doing through and in your life and being able to touch on you, you know, from the inside out. You know, I'm curious, what I hear is you're kind of questioning God, why is this stuff happening? What could I do different? And that is all putting a focus on you. And so my question for you is, what if God never answers why? You know, what if he never gives you some great answer? And I know you're looking for a word or whatever that, you know what, I'm going to tell you, here's what you need to do different in your life, is do this, 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 and this. But then guess who's doing it? That's going to be you out there doing this, this, and this. And we're taking away from the divinity of God, from the, you know, the wholeness of God and what he wants to do in your life. Okay, so we're going to just lay it out there and say, God, if you bless me, I'll take it. If you don't, I'll take it. You know, we're just going to lay it out there. And that's, trying to think of a good example or a good way to word this, but basically we're not going to try to tell God, I have to have an answer, I have to know this, or, you know, we're going to say, no matter what happens, I trust in you. Okay? Because what happens so often is if we pray a prayer, especially for miraculous things, and it doesn't happen or it doesn't happen right away, and some people, it hinders their faith. It'll turn them from God because I prayed for this and I thought you loved me, but it didn't happen. And so I have learned in praying and praying in faith and standing in belief in him, it's not so much about whether or not I receive it. It's just knowing that God heard my prayer, and I will trust from that point on that God knows, God has my back. God has, you know, the ability, the capacity. He has everything he needs. I don't need to put any more pressure than that. And so I believe that we can ask for things and then go about our business. You know, not busyness or, you know, getting caught up in other stuff. I'm not trying to say that at all. But just going on that we want to be able to stand and pray for things and then believe that God has heard us. We know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we have the petition that we requested of him. We can make our request known to him. We know that he hears our prayers and answers them. So we know that God wants to do something in your life. Let me just pray for you, Josh, right now. I believe that, you know, we've got other people that are praying for you and that are caring for you that want to, you know, that are interceding even on your behalf as the body of Christ, as a child of God, as a young believer. I'm going to continue to pray for you that God continues to strengthen your faith in him and continue to draw away from any self sufficiency, you know, being able to put any of the sufficiency for you and your ability to make yourself right enough for God to bless you, and just to see that it was all laid on him. Every little bit of it was laid on him. He knows that God knows it was all put on his son, and so he's just waiting for you to grab on to that. So let's pray right now. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus. I believe that you are the miracle worker, that you're the divine, you are the holy, you're the righteous, you are the one that we yield to and trust and seek right here and right now, Father. We have a young man that is, Father, has cried out to you to know kind of what's going on and why these things are happening. Lord, I pray that the trust is there, Father, to go about his business, to go about what you lead him to do, that you guide him, and to trust that you are the one that is leading and guiding him. It won't be something that he will have to come up with or do some new thing or try this or do that. But, Father, that in the general course of his life, Lord, that you are going to lead him and guide him and show him the direction to go, that you will take him down a path that encourages him, that allows him to be a blessing to others, allows his life to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, to glorify the King of Kings and see him exalted. And, Father, you will use his life in a mighty and powerful way. So as he goes through the day-to-day things that he does, Father, that you will encourage him in this way, then the Bible reading will come, the prayer and the worship will come, and the healing and the things in the body that he needs will come through this, Father, just like the lepers, that as they went, they were healed. And so God had sent them, you know, Jesus, they come and they prayed, and they said, as they went, they were healed. And the one turned back to thank Jesus for it. And I believe that's you. And I believe that you are the one that will turn back and say thank you. And your entire life then will become this glorious testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did in your body. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that every molecule, every cell, every organ in this young man's body line up according to the word of God, which spoke that there was light and there was light. All that is done was done by you, Father. And I pray that you, as you are the one that lines things up, that you will line up all the things that need to be aligned for his thyroid, for the swelling, for the hyperness, Father. You control the rhythm. Father, you control the things. You design things to be in the speed and the size and the growth and the every part of it the way that it was supposed to be, Lord. You designed it. And so we're trusting in you to reduce swelling and to cause things to be where it needs to be, Father, so that he will have peace inside. I bind up right now that spirit of anxiety trying to come against this young man. I bind you up in Jesus' name. We command you to loose him and let him go. To loose him and let him go. We don't give you any more place in this man's life, Lord, that in this man's life. You have lost your house. and we pray it in the name of Jesus. Father, you take care of this young man. You guide him. You show him. You empower him to live out this walk that you've called him to and allow his life to be that glorious testimony unto you. Sorry, Josh, have you ever experienced deliverance before with the casting out of a spirit?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Okay. I didn't want to get too much into it because I know that I didn't know if you knew that, but, you know, the spirits can't go out and come back in because you're filled up with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they can't come back and bring their brothers. They can't do any of that stuff. It's not in you as a person. We're not putting you down in any way, but we speak unto a spirit, a demonic spirit that has tried to attach to your life like that barnacle on a boat. And so we just speak to that spirit of anxiety right now. I bind you fully. Hands, feet, every part of you is bound right here and now by the Lord Jesus Christ. All the power and authority that comes through me and my voice is cast upon you. God doesn't need you, he doesn't want you, and he doesn't have to have you. He is filled with the power and glory of Jesus Christ. He is filled with the anointing of God. The Holy Spirit flows through his veins, and there is no place for anxiety in him. You have made him bold, Father. You have made him righteous. You have made him a king and a priest. You have made him beloved. You have made him precious. You have made him peculiar unto the as a child of God. And so, Father, I pray that that is what rises up in his life, that he will walk in that anointing and walk in the fullness that you have called him to, Father. There won't be any place that will not allow him to walk in this. We give you all the glory and all the praise. All the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I just want to speak also to that pain that was in his body, any pain that was associated with anything, with his thyroid or any other part of his body. We just bind that up right now, all that spirit of pain trying to come against his life, trying to torment him in his mind. Torment is a pain is a tormentor. And it comes in and tries to bring friends in to cause things that will, inflammation and swelling and any part of your body, those kind of things. It brings in these friends with it. And part of that is the pain is the instigator of that. So we bind up you, spirit of pain, trying to bring this into this young man's life. We bind you up and command you to go. You come out of him. You loose him and let him go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out of him. From the tip of his toes, up through his feet, his legs, his loins, his body, his head and neck, I bind you in Jesus' name. You come all the way out of that body in Jesus' name. You have no place in here anymore. The power of God is upon him. The power of God is for real. The power of God is anointing. The power of God is delivering. And we give God all the glory. Father, we thank you. We thank you for doing a miraculous thing in Josh's life, Lord, that he will have victory, Lord, bringing all the glory unto you, Lord. I know how much you care for him. I care for him, Father, and I know how much you must care even more than that. Lord, you're the King. You're the Savior. You're the Redeemer. You're the one that created us all. And, Father, we pray that everything comes into play the way that you have designed for it, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Let there not be a, I guess I just keep thinking, I keep going back to that about going about your business and that the best that you know and what God is calling you to do, if God is kind of leading you in a direction or there's some things he's been wanting you to do, to step out into that and let God lead and guide and go that direction. You know, God is you don't have to stress if the devil is trying to come at you or to bring things against you or to, you know, the temptations and things. You know, you talked about the anger and pain and anxiety, those kind of things trying to come, or that these things keep rising up. Man, you're just walking it out. You're just a Christian, and the devil hates Christians, and so he's going to try to throw things at you. That battle, like for men and lust and those kind of things, that battle's always going to be there. It's always out there in front of us. But I believe if we walk in the Spirit like Jesus walked in the Spirit, that he stayed in tune and connected with God. It's not some performance thing. It's about a realization of who you are. Okay? When you realize you are righteous, when you realize you are spiritual, you are walking in the Spirit, you're in this world but not of this world, when you realize that, if you just begin to live from that, then those things don't have that temptation. Then it takes that hole that it has. You tell a kid, don't go look through that hole in that fence over there. Don't go, peek through that hole, what are they going to do? They're going to run right up to that hole and look through it as soon as you turn the other way. And that's what Christians do, is they put this pressure on themselves that I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this. And then it's like it pulls you to it versus flipping it around and just saying, I don't want to look through that hole. You know, it has no pull on me. It doesn't have any draw to me. You know, it doesn't matter to me what's on the other side of that hole, because it's nothing but the world or something. You know, if it's not of God, what's the point in looking into it, you know? And so it begins to take that pressure off of you so that you can live in the grace of God, receive his favor, receive his love, his blessing, all that thing that he wants to put on you, and just begin to walk in that. I'll tell you, I have been liberated by God's grace, and deliverance and getting spirits out and being able to deal with that is a huge part of being able to experience grace. But it's about understanding who we are. You know, I don't get tempted by some of the things that were tempting, you know, even 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago. Those things just don't have that same effect or that same draw anymore, because I don't make some big deal out of it. Like it's some huge, horrible monster. You know, no, it's not. That's not even a part of my life. I am a righteous child of God. I live in the anointing. I live in the blessing. And so God allows us to be able to do that. Amen. Josh, I'm going to keep praying for you, and I believe that God is going to continue to work in your life. I want to see, we've got a couple other people that are on, and I want to check in with them real quick and see if there's some other opportunities for prayer and ministry.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, man, I'm talking now to somebody with an area code 915. It doesn't really show me what your name is. Are you interested? Do you have a prayer need or something you'd like to discuss tonight?
No, this is the first time that I've called to listen in. I just called to listen, but I'm glad
okay.
You're on. Thanks.
Okay.
And God bless everybody out there. But if you want to say a prayer for me, I never turn down higher spiritual help. Hey, that's better than winning a lottery. I mean, you know, what can I say?
Amen. Amen. What's your first name?
Larry. Some friends of mine are probably listening, too, because they're the ones that told me about you being on.
Okay.
Well, actually, they told me Pastor Kyle, that you were filling in for Pastor Kyle because he's out and about on a conference.
Right. That's right. So, praise God. Well, I'm glad you're with us. You said you're...
Is he up in Montana?
Yeah, he's
okay,
doing that White Storm Remnant conference.
Yeah, with Steve Quayle and the Hagmans and a long...
Yep.
List of who's who's. Yes, indeed.
Yep.
Hey, say a prayer for them, too.
Amen. That's good.
All the more. I mean, you know, the more you... It's like in World War II, the closer you got to the target, the heavier the flak got. Okay?
Right.
So those guys really, really need the prayers.
But, I agree. I agree.
Thanks for, you know, picking up and saying howdy. Howdy.
Amen.
And howdy to everybody out there.
Amen. Well, Father, we just pray right now for this young man that's calling in, Father, and we agree and stand in agreement, Father, for the ministers that are fighting it on the front line. Even tonight, as we speak, demons are being cast out. I fully believe that you are doing a miraculous miracle in people's lives tonight in Bozeman, Montana, through this White Stone Remnant Conference, Father. I pray for the speakers, each and every one of them, that the anointing of God flows like never before, that their lives are governed by the Spirit of God, and that, Father, your hedge of protection around them, Father, is so solid, so concrete, that there is not an inkling or any tiny place for the enemy to get through into their personal lives or their families or their marriages, Lord, but you keep them built strong, walking in the fullness of what you have called them to, Lord. And I pray for a powerful time of ministry, that people that go to that conference and are there tonight, even, Father, and the rest of this weekend, that, Father, they're there on purpose for a purpose, Father, and that you will meet their need, Father. You govern every part of what happens through that conference, and I pray that you'll guide them, lead them, protect them, and reveal unto them through that your gifts and your Holy Spirit's gift of discernment, Father, that you'll reveal unto them each and everything that they need to know, Father. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I have one other person. We just got about 5 minutes or a couple minutes here left, but I have one other person that has area code 571. And Hey, this is Pastor Gary Gilbert, and we're doing deliverance today for John Kyle. Did you have anything you want to share, or are you just listening in?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay. I just like prayer in general, I guess.
Okay. Well,
maybe anxiety and fear.
Okay. What was your first name?
Janet.
Janet? Okay. Well, I know that, Janet, I don't know how long you've been on exactly, if you were able to hear. You know, earlier I spoke on not having fear, that, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Those are extremely powerful things that he's poured into our life. And a spirit of power is something that gives us courage to be able to handle what comes our way. That is who you are. That is what God has given you, is a spirit of power. God has given you the spirit of love to be able to fully understand who he is, how much he loves you, and allow him and his love to flow through your life unto the people around you. It takes it, you know, and with the greatest commandments, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And so one of the powerful things that he has done by pouring love into us is it gives us the ability to be able to love on others. And when we love on others, we're loving on them and not thinking of ourselves. And so that's one of the things that, you know, it helps us to go beyond ourselves when we begin to focus on other people by focusing on love and allowing him to do that. And obviously a sound mind is something that we all need, because we can have a peace in our mind. We have a peace that passes all understanding, and that is who you are. You have that capacity that God has given you, poured this in your life, power, love, and a sound mind into you, your life, and wants you to be able to walk in that. I'm just going to pray for you, Janet. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we bind up those spirits of fear and any anxieties, Lord. They cause so much trouble in the body of Christ, Father. And it's not Janet's fault. It's just something the devil has tried to do and to use against her. But, Father, I am claiming right here, right now, that Janice is a child of God, filled with the power of God, filled with the presence of God, filled with the anointing of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, and that she is filled up so full that there is no room for anxiety and fear. There is no place for that torment in her life. It has been pushed out by the power of God. We bind up that spirit of anxiety. We call you out of Janet. Say, come out, come out, come out. You come all the way out of her and loose her and let her go. You will not go into her family. You will not go into her friends. You will not go into anybody else. You're going out to the dry places where Jesus Christ sends you to go. And in Janet's life, we call you out right here and now. She doesn't need you. She doesn't want you. She doesn't have to have you. There's no place in her life for you anymore. We bind you in Jesus' name, commanding you in the authority and power of Jesus Christ to come all the way out of her and loose her and let her go. Come out, 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 all the way out. All the way out, 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 out. All the way out of there. Come all the way out of there. All the way out, 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 out. All the way out of there. You loose her and let her go. You come all the way out of there. You come all the way out. In Jesus' name, you loose her and let her go. In Jesus' name, you come all the way out, 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 out. Glory be to God. Glory 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 to God. Come all the way out, 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 out. Spirits, you've come out. You've been sent to the places where Jesus Christ himself sends you to go, and you cannot return unto her. I praise you, Father, for a freedom in her life like she has never experienced. I praise you for a wonderment in her life, the awe of God, an awe of God. It just says, I can't believe how awesome you are. I can't believe, but I do. I can't believe, but I do. And, Father, we praise you for that, that her life will be filled with a belief in you, a trust in you like never before, that you have filled her up to overflowing with trust and peace in her life. You have overflowed her life with a righteousness, a holiness, a willingness to walk in what you have called her to. Praise you for it in the name of Jesus. We thank you for Janet. Father, I pray you bless her entire life, Father, her relationships. Father, you need some work, Father. We know that you have a hand in them, Father, and that you're working out all things for her good. And I pray that you will minister unto her in that particular way, Father, that her relationships, both with men and with, I want to say siblings, and with other people in her life, Lord, that you are ministering unto her and keeping her on the right track who are taking her down the path that you want her to go down, Father, and that you're going to open up some relationships for a new friendship, a new relationship for her, Lord, that will bring glory to you, that will draw her not away from you, but will draw her toward you, that will draw her into a greater, intense time of fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. We praise you for Janet in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for this time that we've had together tonight. Lord, we've only got 30 seconds or so left here, Lord. I just thank you that your blessing is upon us, that your hand is upon everything that we do, Lord, that as we walk in the glory of God, that we trust in you, we rest in you. Father, I pray for each one that is called in tonight and for others that may be listening for that peace and that trust to understand how great you are, how much you love us, how much you care for us, how we walk in you each and every day. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.